be in the Lord's house. David said, I was glad. Good to have Brother Robert back with us today. I'm off the road. Good to see him on pew two. Amen. His place. Pew two on the aisle. All right, gentlemen, Psalm 55 again this morning, probably, unless the Lord changes my mind. This will be our last study through this psalm. And somebody's still backslidden. I still don't have any drinking water. Psalm number 55. I think I'll read all 23 verses for you today before we begin. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. Lo, then would, I've already read that, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. Well, that verse of Scripture would really put a choke on modern-day theology. We're not supposed to pray anything negative, you know, today against anyone. We're to love everybody. I saw a little sign in the newspaper, I think day before yesterday, that alarmed me greatly. They put a man to death in Florida. I think 52, 53-year-old man, weighed 344 pounds. And because he had some sort of a bleeding problem when they put the electricity and the new electric chair to him, the press made a big to-do about it. And I saw a sign in the Messenger, or a picture in the Messenger. It showed two little girls and an adult standing beside them. And I know the girls couldn't have come up with the idea. It had to be prompted by their parents or some other stinking liberal mess in America. But they stand there holding a sign that said, Why do we kill people that kill? That's the mentality of today. Let people do what they want and then don't do anything to them. Let them get by with murder. The fact of it is that man that was executed had already taken the life in an attempted robbery, had murdered a woman that was pregnant, and also her 9 and her 5-year-old child. So literally the man killed 4 people. Why do we kill people that kill? I'm going to tell you why. To keep them from killing again. God is a God of love, gentlemen, but God is also a God of justice. I didn't say wrath, I said justice. God will bring justice. And David here is simply asking God for justice in his life, okay? For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. David said they're not saved. They've never been changed. They have no fear of God before their eyes. They're just like they were. I mean, they have went to the house of God in sweet. They have sat down in sweet counsel together, but there's been no change in their heart, in their life. They're just like they were. They're still wicked in their heart. And he said, God shall hear and afflict them. I've read that. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth are smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the precious reading of his word this morning. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sunday school hour. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the calm, tranquil spirit in the house of God this morning. I pray that you'll take this solemn time and speak to our hearts through thy word. Help us to grow in grace, in knowledge, in wisdom, and in understanding of the scriptures. Bless us and give us light, Lord, where it's needed. Give direction to your children where it's needed. Give blessing and comfort where it's needed. And we'll thank you and praise you for the help that's ours in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Fellas, our text this morning, really for our thought, is found in verses 16 and verse number 17. I'll mention some of the other verses, but I want to try to speak for a little while in the morning hour here in Sunday school on David's unfailing confidence in God. I'll tell you, if there's one that we can have confidence in, it is in Almighty God. Others will disappoint us. Others will deceive us. As David was here, many will desert us. But I'm glad that we've got a friend this morning that sticketh closer than a brother. God will see us through. If we'll just cast our care upon him, God will sustain us. And the Bible said he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Brother Dale Massengale was right this morning on his program. We already have victory. The problem with most Baptists is they just never realize the victory that they have. We got a cat in the house of God. Well, amen. I don't know whether he's got a soul or not. Jesus created him and he's here. So we'll preach to him too. Amen. Now, as we go through this morning, or as we look at this 55th Psalm again, I want us to remember that the Psalm had its occasion during the rebellion of Absalom and the treason of David's counselor, Ahithophel. That's what David is writing about here. And during the rebellion and during the treason or the treachery of Ahithophel, David still had confidence in his Lord. In fact, he had enough confidence in the Lord to regards to his salvation that he was confident that God would support and God would preserve him during his trials and his dangers. Do you know our first inclination, gentlemen, when danger, spiritual danger, arises in our life, is to be like David in verse number 6. We wish that we could have some wings and fly away to a faraway land or in the wilderness or to get away from it all. Because there's no man that's really as brave as what his mouth says he is. We're all weak in the spirit, my friend, and we're not nearly as spiritual as what we think we are. The man Elijah, a man of like passions as we are, and had a great and a glorious victory over the prophets of Baal, called down the fire of God, and the sacrifice being consumed, turned the hearts of Israel back to God, prayed down rain upon the land, and ended the drought and the famine. And in the very next chapter, we find him fleeing from Jezebel, sitting under a juniper tree, defeated in his spirit. And so we're not really as spiritual as what we think we are. But I find David here, after he contemplated the power and the grace and the ability of God, he realized then that the battle was not his, but it was the Lord's. And if the battle is the Lord's, mark it down in your little black book if you carry one, he will come out of the battle with victory. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a fight. He's always been victorious. And I'll guarantee you he can conquer the trials and the dangers that we experience from day to day in our life. I guess really what I'm trying to say is, fellas, that we can have confidence in the Lord. Go back through the Bible and read your Bible and see if you can find one occasion when God faulted or defaulted one of his children. You can go all the way back, my friend, to Noah. And God gave Noah the victory in building an ark. God gave Abraham victory. He walked with God. Amen. That's right. God gave the patriarchs victory. Isaac and Jacob. And God gave Israel the victory. I'm simply saying, fellas, that we can have confidence in God. He can get the job done. He has in the past, and what God's done in the past, he'll do in the future. We serve a God that is all-powerful this morning. Mark that down. Amen. Even during trials and times of danger. Somebody said, we're not in danger. Oh, you're not. Why don't you examine your life and see where you're living today, and you'll come to the conclusion that we're living in more dangerous times today than what you really think we are. Gentlemen, I'm telling you that the devil is on a rampage. There is a deceitful, degrading spirit that has permeated our land, and it's dragging souls that are lost off into the world and ultimately into hell, and it's overpowering the people of God, and we're sitting on our church pews, whooped, defeated, long-faced, rouge lipped, without the power and the blessings of God in our life. Somebody said, why? It's because we're failing to cast our care upon God that He may sustain us through dangerous and perilous times in our life. And some of us is having personal dangers today. Worried sick about this and about that. Son, I'll tell you, we can have confidence in God. Now, don't nobody leave me. You know, David here, his problem was with his own boy Absalom and with Ahithophel. I really believe that verses 12, 13, and 14 are written in reference to Ahithophel and not to Absalom. Now, I used to think that was Absalom. It's in relation now to the New Testament. Part of this would really be in the life of Judas Iscariot. And I always thought that this was speaking about Absalom, but it's not. It's speaking about Ahithophel. For Ahithophel and Judas both hanged themselves. Here is a type of Judas Iscariot, no doubt, in the life of Ahithophel. Read what it says. It said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked under the house of God in company." Here was a man that David had put all his confidence, all of his trust in, and felt like he was a friend that would stick closer than a brother, and that he could confide in him, my friend, and trust him, and have fellowship with him, and so to speak, pour out his heart to him, tell him all his personal problem, all his personal woes, and that Ahithophel would do no more than to carry those problems to God in prayer. But I'm telling you, gentlemen, don't lean too strongly upon mankind. They will fail you. Amen to God. We need to learn to put our confidence in Almighty God. He won't run and rattle his tongue about your secret faults. That's right. He won't tell somebody else about your problems. Now, I guarantee you, he will not deceive you. He will not turn against you. He will not depart from you. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother this morning. That's right. Now, you know, we can guard against injuries or against offenses that are out in the open. You can get on your guard for it. Or even from a suspected enemy. If you got an idea that somebody is, you suspect them to be plotting against you or conniving against you, you're able to prepare yourself for that. But there's nobody that can prepare themselves for that person that tries to undermine them in secret and uses treachery like this man Ahithophel did. But even in that time, when the plot had been revealed, Ahithophel had fallen into the plot against David. David put his confidence in God. And I'm getting to that if y'all just bear with me for a minute, all right? Amen. David's foes were seeking now to accomplish the downfall and ruin of a man who considered them to be his friends, his equal, his companions, and true worshipers of God. But their only purpose was to bring David down that they might reach greater distinction and greater power. I learned that a long time ago, that when men turn against you and try, my friend, to destroy you and to bring you down, their only purpose behind it is that they might have some kind of recognition or gain just a little bit more power. We're seeing that, fellas, all around the world. There is a power struggle going on around the world in the secular field. But I'm telling you, there is a power struggle going on in the house of God in the spiritual realm. Son, Satan's head has been bruised, but he has not stopped fighting. His place of authority has been destroyed when Christ died on Calvary and rose from the grave, but he has not ceased, my friend, to kick up his heels and to raise hell around the house of God. And I'm going to tell you one of his most cunning devices that he uses is to use somebody in secret, somebody that you trust, somebody you love, somebody you have confidence in, that will learn you, find out what makes you tick, just like Delilah did to Samson. Delilah found out exactly what made Samson tick, how his heart beat, how his mind thought. And brother, when she got an opportunity, that person that Samson thought was his friend turned on him and caused him, my friend, to wind up on a Philistine gristmill, a grinding and a laboring to the flesh without the power of the Holy Ghost to working in his life. That's right. Somebody turn on the air back there. What is wrong with these folks around here? Huh? A man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly. Yet confide not too fully in any human friend. Hey, a fool, gentlemen, speaks his whole mind. A fool tells people his whole heart. Be careful. Be very careful, gentlemen, telling anyone. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Be careful telling anyone your whole heart. That's right. Don't let any. I'm going to tell you what's bothering me. Son, you get a telephone call, and people want to know everything about you. How much money do you make? Where do you work? What type of car do you drive? What's your social security number? Where do you go to church? Who's your friend? What bank do you use? What's your bank account number? Give me your credit card number. They want to know everything about you. And I'm telling you, my friend, there are people that the devil will plant in your life that'll try to learn everything they can learn about you. And you make one bobble, and they'll use it against you to try to bring you down, to lift them up and make them look big in the eyes of the world. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. For even the truest may fail us in life's great needs for lack of power or aid. There's nobody that has the power and the ability to help you like Jesus. Amen. I'll never forget years ago, I was a preaching here, and I was a preaching along these lines right in this church. And I said, vain is the help of man. And Brother Charles Nicholson was here at the time. And his wife, and him and his wife sitting out there. And I said, and I didn't mean nothing by it, but I said, Brother Jerry, remember? I said, Brother Charles, I said, your wife can't help you. I said, vain is the horse in the battle. Everybody broke down, brother. They thought I was calling Cheryl a horse. I really didn't call her a horse. But I'm simply saying, fellas, that there is nothing in the battle, nor anyone in the battle, that can give us the victory and help us through that any more than the Lord Jesus. They don't have enough power. They lack the ability to help us in times of need. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows all about the secret battles in our lives. He understands about the enemy. He knows where the plots are, where the snares are. He knows exactly where the devil has set his snare for you. And if we'll walk in the Spirit, God will guide us around the pits and prevent us from falling in and guide us around the snares that we'll not get hung by the devil. That's right. Our Lord, God alone, is supremely trustworthy. He cannot fail, either in faithfulness or in power. He's faithful to the end, and He's all-powerful. That's right. No wonder David put his confidence in God. Now, somebody said, Preacher, where do you see that confidence in God in David's life? I'm so glad that you asked. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 16. All this is going on. There is treachery in the camp. There is an outward rebellion and an inward insurrection in the camp. And it's a plot to dethrone David. And I'm going to tell you, somebody said, Preacher, where does this affect us? My God, fellas, wake up. I'm going to tell you where it affects you. Don't you realize this morning that the devil, my friend, is not working secretly in your life against you to try to tear you down, destroy your testimony? He'll hinder you from serving God. He'll plant seeds of doubt in your mind, in your heart. He'll cause you to doubt. He'll cause you to fear. He'll try to entice you to wander from God, stray from the fold, get out of fellowship with God, fall into sin, follow the world, give way to the flesh. I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, there is an adversary in your life that does not always jump out in the middle of the aisle and say, Good morning, sir, I'm the big boogeyman. Oh, I'll tell you, the boogeyman don't always show himself. He is a very cunning individual, my friend. I think about Eve there in the garden. Do you think the devil wriggled, and enticed her to that tree? Oh, no. But he worked in the shadows. and planting little seed thoughts in her mind till he got her there, then overwhelmed her by deceit and caused her to fall. He's cunning, gentlemen. He is the most subtle beast of all that God created. Amen to God. Mark that down. Now, where do we see David's faith? Look at verse number 16. All this going on in David's life, where do we find his confidence in God? He said, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You see, we find his confidence in a personal faith. I said a personal faith. Gentlemen, you are not going to have victory living on my faith. The Bible does say you're to follow my faith, but I'm telling you, victory will come on your faith. Your confidence in God is going to have to rest in your faith and your personal relationship with Almighty God, not mine. You're not going to get in on Grandma's coattail. You're not going to get in on Grandpa's coattail. Now, I'm going to tell some of you young kids, you're not going to get in on Mommy and Daddy's coattail. If you're going to heaven, you're going to have a personal relationship with Christ and walk with Him in a personal faith, putting your confidence in God to carry you through. Amen. Now, the David here, he would not endeavor to meet the plots of his adversaries by counterplots. You see, today we want to try to fight the battles. We found out there is a problem. We want to try to come up with a cure for it on our own, like a counterplot. Well, if I know the devil's going to ambush me, I'm going to go and ambush him before he gets a chance to ambush me. I'm going to respond and react on my own rather than giving God an opportunity to do it. Amen. That's right. And so the psalmist would not endeavor to meet the plots of his adversaries by counterplots, but in direct opposition to their godless behavior, would continually resort to God. Gentlemen, He is our resource in a time of trouble. We cannot outwit the devil, gentlemen. And you cannot overpower the world. And you cannot subdue the flesh. And you cannot defeat your enemies apart from walking with a personal faith in the Lord Jesus. I mean, when they rise up against you, don't raise up, my friend, and try to plot and fight back in the flesh. But go to God like David did. Walk in the power of your faith. Your faith and confidence in God. He will see us through the fires of life. If we'll put our faith in God and walk with God, He'll do that. I know that's right. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Now, don't leave me now. Where was this faith? Look in verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Amen. Gentlemen, what does it mean to be saved? The Lord shall save me. Why? What on heaven's name does it mean to be saved? Does it not mean to be in safety? Oh, thanks be unto God that my personal faith in the Lord provides safety for me in times of danger. Hallelujah to God. The storm may be raging here in this life, but I'm so thankful that I've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. I am in a place of safety. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how? I'm going to tell you how. Just like Noah found safety from the flood, gentlemen, I found the door one day, was invited to enter in behind the door, and having entered the door, God closed it. I didn't shut it. God closed the door behind me, and I live in total safety in the everlasting arms of Almighty God today. Hallelujah to God. Son, the rains may be descending, the waters may be raging and raising, but I'm glad, thank God, that I found safety in the ark of Christ. Amen. While the dangers are on the outside, I'm living in peace and tranquility on the inside. And that death angel made his way through Egypt. Whoa, what a day of wrath. What danger! Somebody said there wasn't no danger. If you'd have been outside and been the firstborn, you'd have been in hell. Whoa! But those little Jews, my friend, found safety when by faith they applied that blood on the doorpost, and the lintels of the house went in behind the door and closed the door behind them with explicit instructions not to stick their head out the door until daylight came. I'm glad, thank God, I believe I'm about to get happy. I'm glad, thank God, that I found safety behind the door, and I'll be safe until daylight comes. Hallelujah to God. It may be dark now, but the sun's affixing the rise on the children of God. Hallelujah to God. You have faith in God, my friend, to provide safety in times of danger. Old David there could have died. That's right. They wanted his hide. Don't you think the devil don't want your hide? You know he does. He'd like nothing better than to drag you down to hell. But every time he stalks you, and he is a stalking you, every time he stalks you, he's got to look back toward God in heaven and one more time tell God, is there not a hedge about your servant today like you had a hedge about your servant Job? I'm telling you, my friend, David could have confidence in God because he had faith that God would provide him safety in times of danger. Songwriter was right when he said, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will bring me home. I'm glad. Thank God there's grace, J.W. Hey, grace, son. Hey, grace. Hey, grace. Hey, grace. Hey, grace. And grace. And grace. And more grace. And abundant grace. And all the grace will ever need. And His grace is sufficient. Thank God. Why worry, gentlemen? Woo! Son, I was listening to old Brother Purser over there this morning. I don't know who them people was a-singing, but I was sitting in that little old study. I was sitting there, and I was getting happy, and I finished my coffee, and I went out to get another cup. And the minute I walked through the door in that little study, son, the tears rolled. My heart broke, and the tears rolled. I began to praise God, and it seemed like a devil said, what are you doing, boy? I said, he said, what reason you got to act like this? And immediately, son, my spirit responded, and I said, I feel God in this little room. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. Oh, yes, gentlemen, I'm so glad today that our God is a wall of fire of Addison in the daytime and a cloudy pillar at night. And God leads His dear children along, and God will provide safety for us in times of danger. Bless His wonderful holy name. Thank God. Amen. Look here. Notice the second thing about His faith. A faith that the Lord will succor him when he is weak. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you get that? Look at verse number 18. He said, and He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Notice that last statement. For there were many with me. Wonder where they were at. As far as I know, all that went out to battle with David was his 600 mighty men. As far as I know, that's all the book says. Best I can understand. But David said, there's many with me. Now just bear with me a minute. Some believe that statement to mean that there were many contending against me. Or that there were many enemies, many adversaries, many fighting against David. But I kind of got a feeling that what David was meaning there was that God had raised up some unexpected allies to succor him in the battles Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, what are you saying?" I'm talking about like Abishai, when old David grew old and weak and weary, and he went out to fight the battles of God. He had already slew Goliath, but Goliath's son or brother, I forget which one of them it was in the battle, and he thought to slay David. But Abishai succored David and killed the giant on David's behalf. Hey, look here. I'm glad, thank God, gentlemen, that there are, that there are allies for us that we're not even aware of. God, like He did Elisha, can circle round about us with chariots of fire and provide angels for us to go out and fight our battles. Glory to God. I've wondered, Brother Ricky, how many times God sent invisible hornets to chase the enemies out of our lives spiritually. You see, fellas, we're just not spiritual. We say, well, God sent hornets in, but He don't send them now. Really not. Just because you can't see them? There's a whole lot going on, gentlemen. We can't see. Old Brother Daniel prayed, and God sent an angel from heaven the very minute the prayer came up. But it took him 21 days to get there because he wrestled with the prince of Persia. What are you saying? I'm saying, gentlemen, that we have got allies in this battle that we're not even aware of that will succor us. I'm talking about nourish us and strengthen us. Praise God, there's manna food that we can eat. There's hidden manna that we can find. There's old corn of the land. There's honey, thank God, in the rock. I'm glad, thank God, there's honey in the rock for my strength when I'm weak. I've got a rock that'll pour out water. I've got a rock that'll pour out honey that'll strengthen me in my weakest hour. Woo! Thank God. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. There's honey in the rock, my brother. Da-da-da-da-do-da-do. Woo! Thank be unto God. That's right. Son, there's faith. Gentlemen, you need that kind of confidence in God. That you're not in the battle alone. Son, I'll tell you, we've got allies, and it's not NATO. But I'm going to tell you something, the allies we got can drop a bigger bomb now than NATO can drop. They can shoot straighter bullets. What was it that Watson said? Watson said, prayer is the gun that we shoot. Fervency is the powder that discharges it. And faith is the bullet that penetrates the throne of grace. Woo! I don't know about you, but I like it. Amen. In other words, gentlemen, get a little fervency in your prayer life and have a little bit of faith in God and let it penetrate the throne of God's grace, and God will dispatch angels from heaven to our need. If we have need, He'll rescue us, if necessary, with the host of heaven. Jesus said, could I not now just presently call for, what, 12 legions of angels? Somebody said, well, they ain't very strong. They're not. In the tribulation period, one of them's going to put one foot on the sand and the other on the sea. Pretty big angel, boys. Huh? I'm going to tell you, don't you underestimate the power of our God. Son, God ain't whooped. Somebody said, the world's in a mess. Let her go to hell. That's why she's going anyway. Son, I'm telling you, I'm going to rise. The world's unknown. Bless your heart. I've got a home prepared for me in heaven, reserved and kept by the power of God, where nothing defiles, where righteousness rules and reigns. I'm not going to glory. Let the world go on to hell. Glad I'm saved. saved, saved, saved. You ain't going to change the world. God is a calling of people out of the world to be His own, bless your heart. He didn't come to save the world. He came to call out a people for Himself, a bride, a people that had put their faith in Him. Thank God. Amen. And then there was faith that the Lord will always calm the storm. Notice what He said in verse number 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Brought a calm. Son, I'm going to tell you what. You ought to read Psalm 106 or 107. I forget. It says over and over, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy toward the children of men. Over and over and over. And I'm going to tell you, son, every time they got in a storm, every time dangers arose, they cried to God. God delivered them. Yeah. Hallelujah. And by the way, He gave one of those illustrations as mariners out on the sea. And said God just brought them to their desired haven. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. He never said we had missed the storm. But I'm going to tell you what He did say. He did say that we had reached the shore. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. Glory to God. I may have storms and death may arise down here, but I'm going to anchor over on the other shore someday, my friend, where there's peace and a calm and tranquility forever and ever in the very presence of Almighty God. Woo! Somebody said, my storm's rough. Stay in the ship, my brother. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea when the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, ship ahoy, ship ahoy. And loudly I cried, ship ahoy. I like this verse. The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion He took me on board. Now I'm happy today. All my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior. And now I can say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. From my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Did I make it? Did I make it, boys? Thank God, not bad for an over-the-shoulder shot. I'll tell you what, her hull is bent and battered from the storms of life, but the old ship of thine just keeps on sailing. Hallelujah to God. It'll calm the storms in your life. In faith that the Lord will overcome, that is, depress our enemies. Notice verse 19. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. And then, as far as I know, that's the only scripture in the Bible where a Selah is found in the middle of the verse. Selah. God said, you stop and think about that. He said, there is a God that abides from old, long, long time. Said God was around before that crowd was. And He'll afflict them. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but that word afflict in the Hebrew literally means God will depress them. He'll just pin them down, and they'll cry, calf rope. Say, uncle! That's right. He'll depress them, gentlemen. God shall hear and afflict them. I want to say the second evidence of David's confidence in God was prayer in a time of trouble. Evening and morning in verse 17, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Here's Ahithophel undermining it. Absalom in open rebellion against him. There's mischief in the city. Its streets are strife and hatred and animosity. And in the midst of it all, David said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. There's a lot of trouble out there. I'm just going to pray. What can I do about it? What can we do about it, gentlemen? What can we do? See, we want to try to settle the problems ourselves. You can't. Neither can I. These idiots out here running around with little placards on abortion and trying to stop abortion, carrying a little cardboard sign, they might as well spit in the wind. You ain't going to get it done. But I said, they may not want to do it the way I want to do it. And he said, what do you mean? He said, we can run a campaign, get ads in the paper, this and that. I said, what about running a campaign, getting on our knees and talking to God? Gentlemen, I'm telling you, God can depress the enemy. Oh, yeah. You better believe he can. Listen, in prayer, and prayer in a time of trouble is evidence of great confidence in God. In other words, that throws it all on God's shoulders. That casts all your burden upon God and He's sustaining you. And what it does, it shows that you're trusting Him to get the job done and not you yourself. You know what Charles Spurgeon said? Charles Spurgeon said, it is the bell of the heart that rings loudest in heaven. Son, you get a hold of that, church. It is the bell of the heart that rings loudest in heaven. You get a hold of God with your heart, son. Spurgeon has said, have a pleading heart and God will have a plenteous hand. Have you prayed? Now look what he done. He said, at evening and morning and at noon will I pray. And you know, I never saw this until I went to getting this done. And I'll say some more about it in a minute, but I won't say this first before I forget it. It's not in my notes. I never saw this until I started studying for this. But when God created the heavens and the earth, the evening and the morning were the first day. Now don't leave me now. Listen to me. Somebody said, what is the evening and the morning were the first day. If man would have been writing that Bible, he would have put at morning and noon and evening. That would have been our day. But that's not God's day, brethren. The evening and the morning were the first day. And David, what David said, I am going to pray all day long. And when I prayed all day long at evening and morning, he said, then we'll just pray a little bit more at noon. Now, if you can get a hold of that. In other words, David said, hey, we ain't doing quite enough. He said, I'm going to pray all day long. And then I'm just going to pray just a little bit more. Somebody said, how can you do that? Well, in reality, you can't. That's David's way of saying that we're going to pray continually. That's what Paul said. Paul said in the book of Thessalonians, we're going to pray continually. Now, listen to this very carefully. He started his day in prayer. He made time at noon to pray. He made time. You got sometimes, fellas, you've got to make time to pray. You've got to take it. It ain't going to come easy. You're going to have to make time. You're going to have to make yourself pray. And I'm going to tell you, most of the junk we're involved in is a bunch of frivolous puke that don't amount to a hill of beans. And if we would just take the time to pray, just say, I'm praying, and go do it. He made time to pray, and he closed the day in prayer. If you read back at verse number 10, day and night the enemy was about. And I'm going to tell you, look here. Old David realized that day and night he saw his enemies busy. David said, therefore, if they're busy day and night, I'm going to have to be in the battle also day and night. And my battle is in the closet of prayer, and I will pray evening, morning, and noon. David says, they're busy 24 hours a day. trying to tear me down and dethrone me. Therefore, I'm going to fight the battle against them 24 hours a day. I'm going to be just as busy as they are. See, we're not today. That's why we're losing ground. We're not as busy as the enemy fellow. Now, there is the evidence. Now, notice the end of his confidence. Verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. David wrote that. I don't know if he wrote it in retrospect of his of the insurrection with Absalom and Ahithophel. He's looking back at it. Or if he wrote it during that time. If he wrote it during that time, that verse of Scripture, gentlemen, reveals a lot of faith in David. Because if he wrote it while he was going out of the city, if it came to his heart while he was going out of the city, there's no doubt that David had to have a great deal of faith. He said, I'm going to cast my care upon the Lord. He'll sustain me. He'll never suffer me to be moved. And he's being moved. I'm going to tell you, that's faith that's beyond anything I've got. He is literally being removed from his home, his palace, his authority, his people, his family, everything about him. And yet he says, God's going to sustain me. I'm not going to be moved. Now that's faith believing God bring him back. He believed that the Lord would sustain him. And when God did sustain him, it gives stability to David's life. Something a lot of people don't have today is stability. Wish-washy, weep, up, down, all around, and absolutely no stability whatsoever.